Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Brock Martin. I'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Brock Martin. He is from FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and he's the Vice President of Parish Outreach. So FOCUS is now making this great effort to bring their Bible studies, their fellowship groups, into the parish to evangelize there.
We're now going to a reflection with Father Mark.
You know, the other night we had adoration at Lucas Oil Stadium, where the Colts play, big stadium. And it was a dramatic scene where they have an altar set up in the middle on the floor level and shining bright lights, the bishop praying before that. The whole place was in silence, you know, worshiping the Lord. You know, Pope Francis said, when one places oneself docile and humble before God, often one receives a specific understanding of the meaning of one's own life. It is in faithful and unwavering prayer, in particular in adoration, that everything assumes harmony, that one grasps more clearly one's aims, finding in the Lord the strength and light to put them into practice according to his plans. The meaning of life, harmony in our life, that comes from worshiping God. Brock Martin, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thanks, Father Mark. Great to be here.
Now, you're the Vice President of Parish Outreach. That focus just isn't for college campuses anymore.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. No, we're very excited. It's been something that we've been kind of playing with for the last 8-10 years, and something that just in the last year we've kind of formally declared, hey, this is something that we want to run after and pursue. So I'm very excited to be on the team.
And you described it as focus is a response to the Great Commission. And that's just not for college, right?
Right. No. You know, those were our Lord's last words before he ascended, were to go make disciples of all nations. And I think that the U.S. college campus is a particularly leveraged place to begin that work. And certainly FOCUS will continue to make great efforts to continue to do that on college campuses. But the reality is that if you're going to take that commission seriously to make disciples of all nations, not everybody lives on a college campus. And so that's really where the transition from what we're doing on campus into the parish is an understanding that every human being does live within the parish boundaries of the Catholic Church. And so this is an opportunity for us to take that mission seriously.
And let's describe FOCUS for a moment. Maybe our viewers aren't familiar, but I've been coming to these conferences a number of years. And I think we've had some numbers like pushing 30,000 students and And so you think about college, this wasteland that's given over to liberalism, hedonism, and just this terrible place in many ways, a great place to lose your faith.
Absolutely.
And FOCUS was just afraid, said, I'm not going there, it's too scary, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you guys boldly went in there, and are very effective in so many ways. Describe that process.
No, great. A lot of it goes back to the experience of our founder, Curtis Martin, who, like you were describing, like 80% of Catholics who were raised lose their faith by the time they're 25. And he was actually evangelized by missionaries with Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. And through a number of events, when he had his reversion to the Catholic faith, kind of thought, why is there no intentional effort to go after Catholic students? Why is this only something that the Protestants are doing? And so that really is, that's the prime place. It's the first time when men and women are kind of have the freedom to be able to make decisions that can affect the rest of their lives. And unfortunately, many of them make decisions that take them away from the faith. And that really is the beginning point where FOCUS said, this is where we want to begin the work of the new evangelization, to reach people in those really influential years.
And it centers on like building community, friendships, and but on the Word of God, right? The Bible studies are the heart of it.
Absolutely. The process that the repeatable term would be win, build, send. And so we don't want missionaries to stand on the street corners or slap people with Bible verses, but to really engage people where they are, to build real friendships with them, to spend time in the gym doing whatever those students enjoy doing. And it's in the context of that real relationship and friendship that you begin to bring in the Word of God to say, hey, you know, we've been hanging out for months and months, and I really enjoy spending time with you. would you be interested in going a little deeper, maybe studying a little bit about God's word and why I'm trying to live my life a little bit differently? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing as men and women enter into these small groups of friends and these communities of faith, when they hear that the God of the universe has a plan for them, that he made them out of love to spend eternity with them, this is a message that many men and women have never heard before. Right. And so all of a sudden, their life starts to change. And then that's the point where we want to say, great, we want to then equip you with a repeatable model so you could go do that for some other friends. Right. And well, the Lord has just blessed this tremendously. I mean, there's tens right. of thousands of students who are involved all over the right. country. It's really spectacular.
And it started at Colorado State University, right?
The first campus that had missionaries was Benedictine College, which is actually my alma mater, in Atchison, Kansas. Okay. And then a couple schools in Colorado were about 6 months later.
Okay. So, like, your father, Curtis Martin, he saw a campus. Where was he when he saw it?
So his experience was at Louisiana State University down at LSU. And so he, like I said, it was crew missionaries who I think they invited him to go play golf and he said no. And then they invited him again and he said no. And they invited him again and he said no. And like sixth or seventh time, he was like, okay, just to get these guys off my back. Yeah. But he realized he enjoyed spending time with them. And so the next time they invited him to do something, he went and said yes. And, you know, after months of spending time with them, when they said, hey, we're starting a Bible study, would you be interested? He thought, I enjoy everything else I do with you guys. Why would I not do this too?
Right. And then the headquarters for Focus is out near, outside of Denver, right?
Yep.
And you had Mother Cabrini, she was all over the country, but she did great work there in Denver. You also had World Youth Day in 93.
Yes.
Do you think that's a special impetus for Focus?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I do think that many of our founding members, Curtis, my dad, and Dr. Edward Sree, they were there in Denver in 93. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, then Bishop, now Archbishop Chaput, was named the Archbishop of Denver. And he was kind of the first one that raised his hand and said, I think you're onto something. I think we could get young people to start praying and to start living differently. Yeah. I want you to come and be based in Denver. And that was in 1999. And we've been there ever since.
Oh, great. And what I love about what you're doing here, Vice President of Parish Outreach, is that, so often you might have this fantastic conference with no follow-up. It's very easy just to fall away. Or fantastic youth experience, maybe in their parish. And you're trying to help support people that have maybe come out of Focus, or not necessarily, right, but just bring Focus to the parish.
No, I think you make a fantastic point. This is something that Pope Francis has been hammering over and over again, that you can't do this without what he calls accompaniment. Mm-hmm. There has to be a relationship of somebody, because the fact of the matter is living the Christian life is a pretty radical proposition in today's world. It requires a lot of sacrifices and saying no to things that a lot of people are saying yes to, and saying yes to things that not many people are saying yes to. And what we have found is that to be able to have a brother or a sister that you can really wrestle with those changes and those fundamental, course altering decisions, it's much easier if you've got a brother or a sister to kind of wrestle through some of those things. And so whether it's SEEK, whether it's other big conferences, I really believe that what's going to drive that momentum, 3, 6, 9 months, 5 years after that experience is, do they have somebody to kind of engage in that process with?
Right. I think it is something we can learn from our Protestant brothers and sisters, their love of Scripture. And what I hear oftentimes, their deep prayer with Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
That certainly should be part and parcel of the Catholic life. Sometimes we lose sight of it. But so how do y'all bring that to the parish?
That's a great question. Yeah. I'm reminded of an experience I had my first year as a missionary, was reading through the catechism, and I believe it's paragraph 103, where in the catechism of the Catholic Church, it says that the church has always reverenced sacred Scripture with the same reverence that they do the Eucharist. And I put the book down and thought, that's news to me. Mm-hmm. I've never reverenced Scripture the same way that I do the Eucharist. But I do think that it's such an integral part to our Catholic faith. St. Jerome said that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And I think to do any evangelical work that's not, with a foundation and underpinning with the sacred word of God would be a misstep. And so that's integral to our curriculum. We want to take people primarily through the Gospels to introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ, but then to take them back to the Old Testament and to show them the covenants that from the beginning of time, the Lord has been revealing himself to us in kind of concentric circles. And that culminates with Jesus Christ and his church, that through the church, the Lord desires to be in relationship with everybody. Mm-hmm. And he actually has a role for you and I to play in that. And that reality for so many people is such an experience that their lives begin to change.
Right.
And then to be able to set them on fire and say, hey, you can give this experience to other people in your lives. That I think is the secret sauce of focus, is it's not, we just want to share the gospel with as many people. We want to share the gospel with those people and then equip them to go share it with others. And that's where the Lord has really blessed the work that mm-hmm. we are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about like the natural world. A lot of people can love and marvel that. And it's a revelation of God. And now you have his actual human word to us that is, he's going to be present there and going to renew us, transform us through that word just to spend time, especially with the Gospels, right? So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Brock Martin. Brock, tell us about the curriculum. I hear so much about the Focus Bible Study. I've just barely seen it, but tell us a little bit about that curriculum.
Yeah, there's two main chunks of the core curriculum. The first would be the two main Bible studies. Uh-huh. So the first is a Bible study called The Crux, which is a 6-week Bible study. Really anybody can lead this. You can lead it with anybody. And this is just introducing people to the reality of the gospel, that God created you out of love to spend eternity with you, that sin has separated that, and to really meditate on the weight of how our lives are broken and in need of saving, how out of love God sends his son to die on the cross and redeem us. And that it really culminates with the choice. Like, do you want this to be a part of your life, and not just a part, but the center of your life? Yeah. The second Bible study is called The Story of Salvation. And this Bible study, really, once somebody has kind of said yes to wanting their life to be better, wanting Jesus to be there, to be at the center, to show them how from the beginning of time, God has been revealing himself to people. So starting with the major covenants in the Old Testament, with Adam and Eve, with Noah, with Abraham, to really show them that God has been revealing himself kind of in bigger and bigger ways to bring people into relationship with him. And that culminates with the final covenant, the eternal covenant of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church, and how that's the response is, will you be an active member, a participant, and to be have your life kind of revolve around Jesus and his church.
And tell us a little bit more about the history of how all this came about.
Yeah, great question. Mm-hmm. So for me, on the parish side, you asked at the beginning how Focus is commonly known as a campus ministry, but that the gospel really isn't just for college students, mm-hmm. it's for everybody. About 10 years ago, 2014, 2015, there were a handful of missionaries on campus. They'd been serving as campus missionaries with Focus for a number of years. They started getting married and having kids. And one of them distinctly, I think his wife was home pregnant with their fourth or fifth child. And he was out with a group of young seniors that he was mentoring at a fraternity party, and they were evangelizing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hit him, I love what I'm doing. I love mission work. I love this idea of win, build, send. I'm not sure I'm called to do it with 19-year-olds anymore, 20-year-olds anymore.
And so
I think that week he reached out to his regional director and said, is there anything that I could keep doing this, but do it with adults? Right. And it just so happened that his home parish was very open to us kind of testing this and seeing if what we were doing on campus and learning on campus could apply to the parish. Well, a couple of his friends found out he was doing that. So the next year, a couple more people raised their hand.
Yeah.
And so very quietly over the last 5-10 years, Focus has been testing this. And now there are missionaries on 20 parishes around the country. And we're hoping that that'll be 50 here and just in the next year and a half. And the hope would be that this could really be an opportunity for us to send missionary disciples into every corner of the Catholic Church here in the United States and ultimately abroad. But that's the impetus. It was missionaries saying, I want to do this, just not with 18-year-olds anymore.
Right. And what comes to mind too is, I think America does this well, like the Augustine Institute with all these young scripture scholar rock stars, Brant Petrie, and the old guard of Scott Hahn and things, but many more as well. So much great stuff is being written, so much media to help us get into the scriptures in a deeper way. it just seems like it's really primed for this, right? To have the Word of God transform us, give us some energy to go out, right? To have that missionary spirit. And that's one thing. I had a question for you. We were talking before, too, about, because Pope Francis, again, you know, it's not enough, he says, just to wait for them to come through the church door.
You got to go.
But we need to renew what's inside the church door, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there always has to be this kind of outward, right, bringing in.
Yes.
So.
No, and that, I love that you're going there. That's absolutely true. One of the things, and this is true on campus and in the parish, there's kind of this two-edged sword of missionary discipleship that we want to encourage. And the first is, you got to go after the people who are already there, who maybe are doing all the right things, but haven't ever been really wowed with the gospel or had a deep encounter with the person of Jesus Christ who wants to have a real relationship with them.
And can I just stop you there a second? I know, like Paul VI in his document on evangelization, he talked about the church herself is always in need of to be re-evangelized, to be renewed, right?
No, absolutely. It's a living organism. And I think that, you know, from the beginning of the church, we are all sinful human beings. And so there's not only in the church, in me, there's a need to be renewed. And so that's true for everybody. Yeah. But I think that, you know, if you're engaging people who are already, you know, there and coming, at the same time, you want to go out and you want to reach new people. And one of the things that has been so tremendous is all of the people who are coming have friends and family members and deep relationships with people who are unchurched or fallen away Catholic or have had bad experiences with the church. And to be able to accompany those people as they enter into some of those realities is just an amazing, amazing experience, because you get to have a front row seat for some of those walls to start to come down.
And you know, and you're just reminding me too, it's like, you have the priest, the pastor, you have too few priests. He's kind of usually overwhelmed with his duties there. But now we're in this phase of unchurched and, you know, faith, a culture of unbelief a lot of times. So who are the people out there? It's the lay people, right? Yeah, send whatever priest you can out there, but there's just not enough, right?
No.
But the lay people are just naturally out there.
They are. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I haven't met a parish priest yet who's saying, hey, I'm not busy enough. They are all up to their eyeballs, and they take it on the chin every single day from people who are grumpy or don't understand you know, what they're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And what we have found is to be able to not, hey, Father, this is a, you know, we want to offer this great thing to you, but really to send our missionaries in a spirit of humility and service. Father, what do you need? Mm-hmm. There's a saying in Focus Parish, you know, sometimes Father may ask you to cut the grass. That doesn't sound like what focused missionaries do. But if Father asks you to cut the grass, go cut the grass.
Because
the reality is that he's got a ton of things that are coming at him.
Yeah.
And so we really want to have our missionaries be foot soldiers, laborers for our pastors, because they really are doing some of the most amazing work. And they are starving for help, because they look out and they're hearing the confessions. Yeah. They see what people are struggling with.
Right.
And in many times, they don't have the space to be able to walk with people in that intentional way. And so that's really what we are hoping to bring to those who want to bring missionaries in.
And I like the idea too, like families, like ministering to other families out in the world. And so that part of win, build, send, what is the winning part? How do you describe that? What does that look like? Maybe your coworker or maybe the family next door?
Yeah, great question. So on campus, this is easy. It's, you know, you go to the rec center, you go to the dining hall, you invite people over for those late night hangouts. In the parish, it's a little different because people are crazy busy. You know, you're the typical people, whether they are young adults and singles, young in their family, older in their family, or empty nesters, there's just a reality that people don't have as much time as they did when they were younger. A couple of the things that we have found to be tremendously effective have been kind of whatever's happening in the culture. So a big thing for us is if there's for me in Denver, the Denver Broncos are playing. Could I invite a guy who's maybe on the periphery? It's not a religious setting. Just come over to my house for the Bronco game. I'm gonna get 2-3 hours with this guy. Mm-hmm. And most of the conversation won't be spiritual, but there might be moments where I could ask a slightly deeper question to kind of poke at whatever he's revealing, or to go play a round of golf with a guy. And you get 3-4 hours of you're outside. What we've seen on the ladies' side is, man, play dates with little kids, coffee dates when, you know, older kids are maybe at school, with the empty nesters, to be able to get together early in the morning and share a breakfast or a dinner. It's not rocket science. It really is, you know, what do you already do with your friends? Well, is there any way we could enter into that? And for everybody, it's a little different, but that really is the recipe, is how can I just engage you as I would a friend?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. I was always impressed by the structure of Focus, its outreach, and its ability to morph and change. You know, what does that process look like? You're a vice president.
Yeah.
Do y'all meet together as a team or pray together? How does that work?
That's a great question. So the group of vice presidents, there's about 15, get together every 2 weeks. And that's kind of a tactical, like, hey, here are the big things that are coming.
Yeah.
The vice presidents who lead our apostolic outreach efforts. So this would be what we're doing on campus, what we're doing in the parish, what we're doing with our alumni, what we're doing with our benefactors. That group of vice presidents gets together every single week. And one of those four meetings is all intercession. We are literally just reading scripture and praying together. One of those weeks is we're talking strategy, kind of thinking 5-10 years out. And then the other two are, hey, let's talk tactical stuff. But I think it's so important, you know, Focus, as it's grown, you need to run things excellently. But I think there's a danger if we lose our identity as an apostolate. We are not a business who's doing apostolate things.
Right.
We're an apostolate that's called to be excellent and to do things right. with business acumen. And,
yeah.
and that's what I love about this group of vice presidents mm-hmm. who are leading our apostolic efforts. It's all underpinned in prayer and fasting and discernment and conversation mm-hmm. To share life with one another. Those guys have become some of my best friends, and I've only been in this role for about 9 months. And so it's been a lot of fun to get to know them better.
Well, Brock, thank you so much.
It's been amazing.
Thanks for your great work.
Thank you, Father Mark. Yeah.
I love the idea of Focus being in parishes to bring their Bible studies into the parish and how they present the gospel, present the basic gospel story that we're sinners and Christ redeems us and sends us the Holy Spirit for sanctification, to go through salvation history, the covenants leading up to the new covenant. And that stirs people. Mm-hmm. We've seen that on the show many times.
Yeah, I think he highlighted the point of having just or reconnecting with that reverence for scriptures. Just diving into it, becoming familiar with it. And he kind of really compared that reverence to the Holy Eucharist mm-hmm. that we should have. And I thought that was a very important thing, because it's kind of, whenever we go to Mass, there's the liturgy of the Word and then the liturgy of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, the scriptures, that prepares us to receive our Lord more intimately with a greater devotion mm-hmm. and respect. And I think just that longing for God that we read about in the scriptures.
Right. Yeah, there's a power to that word. It convicts hearts like a two-edged sword. His Holy Spirit comes in and opens our hearts to understand those words. So, but somebody's got to be there to share mm-hmm. it, to have fellowship. And I like the point he makes that, you know, we just don't focus on young people, don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But no, the church is always herself mm-hmm. in need of renewed. And Paul VI said even to be evangelized mm-hmm. herself again and again. So I love the fact that, Focus is out there. And they're trying to capitalize just on normal everyday life, you know, inviting people into normal activities and to share the gospel in that context.
I think that's a great blessing to the church, just that outreach. Ministry, really, because there's a lot of people out there in the world that are looking, they're seeking, and sometimes they don't even know what they're looking or seeking for, but there's something attractive there with God and religion that connects them. And I think they do find a great fulfillment that mm-hmm. the world doesn't offer.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we kind of grow up with religion, but we can pass it off. You know, we just kind of become used to it. But sometimes we do have to hear it or experience it a different way to reconnect with it.
Right. And these Focus missionaries, when they're like having families now and out mm-hmm. in the world, it could be a great place for them to connect, to have fellowship, to share what they've been given. So we need fellowship, we need that communion, and we need to pray with the scriptures to receive that power of God's word. So may our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He bless you and fill you with His Spirit in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Like you. hidden by the sheet. But this bit of world has lost its shine to me. I am ready now for eternity.